This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim has six duties towards other Muslims. When you meet him, you should greet him. When he invites you, accept his invitation. When he asks you for advice, give it to him. When he sneezes and praises Allah, say, may Allah have mercy on you. When he is ill, visit him. And when he dies, follow his funeral. Related by Muslim.
Anybody can repeat the hadith. There are six duties upon every Muslim towards his brothers and sisters. What are they? Let's see your memory. You see him, say him, give him salam. Accept invitation. When he sneezes, say arhamukallah. If he said alhamdulillah, say arhamukallah. Huh? No, we just said the sneeze. We say three. Number four? When he's sick, you visit him. Give him nasiha, advice if he asks for advice. Follow his funeral. Very good. Excellent. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the rights upon every Muslim, or the rights upon, or the duties that you have towards your Muslim brothers and sisters. He said the Muslims, but the word Muslims include men and women. Okay. I'm sorry, but you have to hold him. He can't be roaming around. Whoever child is this, yeah, you have to hold him. Okay. Has six duties towards one another, six rights, the Prophet ﷺ said. This hadith reported by Muslim and also reported by Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. So it's not only Muslim, also reported by Al-Bukhari as well. And Muslim, rahimahullah, reported this hadith this way and reported it in another way. He said that the right or the duty of Muslim upon every Muslim are five. And he didn't mention six. Five, not six. What are the five? The same exact one that you have here, except one out. Anybody knows which one? Nasiha, very good. That the Prophet ﷺ said, he didn't mention the part, if somebody asks you for advice, you should give him advice, or you should advise him. That part was not mentioned in one of the narrations. Why? Because the Nabi ﷺ maybe repeated this hadith statement on multiple occasions. The Nabi ﷺ said this on multiple, so one time he mentioned five, one time he mentioned six, okay? The Prophet ﷺ said the word in Arabic, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ, the right, the duty, right or duty. The word حَقْ, it means something, هُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَجَّهْ عَلَيْكَ فِعْلُهُ, يَتَوَجَّهْ عَلَيْكَ فِعْلُهُ, something you've been asked to do, something you are required to do. Question, when I say this is a requirement, is that means it's an obligatory or it is just a recommended act? Both. The word, it is requirement for you, one of the requirements of Muslim to pray. That's not a volunteer act. So the word haqq, it could mean something you must do and something you basically commanded to do. Okay? So it could be both ways. But I want to tell you something, and I want you to pay attention to this. And this is, for me, a key point to understand Islam. In Islam, we don't have one block that it call haram, forbidden, and one block it call dislike, and one block that it call obligatory, and another big chunk it call dislike. We don't have that in Islam. It is, each one of these categories are so many different levels. So for instance, worshiping Allah is must or not? Must, that's right? Okay, so being good to your parents, respecting your mother, is must or not? When the khutbah is delivered on Friday, you must listen or not? When you hear the Prophet's name, you say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must. Are these equal? No way. They're not equal. One up here, one down there. That's right. The same thing with haram. You know, is insulting someone like killing someone? Stealing somebody's wealth is equal to pushing someone or harming him physically, you know, or emotionally? They are different levels. Stealing money from your parents, from your relatives, from your neighbor, and harming your neighbor, worse than harming someone who's not related to you. So the haram also levels, and the dislikes are levels. So whenever you hear the word haq, why I'm saying all this? Because the ulama said, the scholar said, when we say haq, even if it is a recommended act, even if it's a recommended act, it means it's on the top level of the recommended act. يعني so near to be what? Obligatory. Is that clear? Is that understood? Imagine, مثلا, there is 300 levels. These things that the Prophet mentioned are on the top 50 or the top 20 or the top 10 that the Muslim should care for. واضح? Okay. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the right or the duties of Muslims toward one another are six. There is something interesting in Arabic, and I think in English as well, so correct me if I'm wrong. Sometimes in Arabic, numbers are not meant for itself. Khalid, I told you 100 times. That means literally 100 times? Oh my God, Omar, 1,000,000 times. That means 1,000,000 times? Maybe, that's right. Okay. So, you see, so you need a, is that, Umair, is that number meant? No, it's basically, we call this la mafhuma lah. It doesn't carry really a meaning. So, it's a tricky, you need to look at the context and to see. Did the Prophet ﷺ, when he said the right of and the duties that you have towards your Muslim brothers and sisters are six, did the Prophet ﷺ meant only six? And that's it, no more, no less? No, because there is another hadith he said, five. And we know from other evidence that there are so many other rights that we have towards one another other than these six. The question, why you think the Prophet ﷺ said six? What do you think? Why the Prophet ﷺ said six? To pay attention to six. When I say there are six things I want you to do, it's easy to grab. It's easy to do. Versus it, I have a lot of things for you to do. That's right? Also, if I mention six, it means they are among the top six or the top points. So the top rights, the most important rights toward your Muslim brothers are these ones that the Prophet ﷺ mentioning here. إذن التخصيص هنا يدل على الأهمية. And by the way, Al-Bukhari mentioned the five, didn't mention the six. Riwayat Al-Bukhari, only five. And Riwayat Muslim also, the famous riwayah narration, five. But it is authentic narration, we said six. Then in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, if you see him, إِذَا لَقِيتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. This is a key point here to understand this phrase. فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. When you meet him, فَسَلِّمْ فَا. This فَا in Arabic language, it means التعقيب, which تعني المبادرة, which it means immediately. So عقب, يعني when you meet him, the next thing you do, you give him salam. So that from this we understand that the Prophet is telling us, when you meet your Muslim brother, when you meet him, the next thing you do when you meet him, you what? You give him salam. Immediately, the next thing. Where's Muntasir? What's the first thing Napoleon did when he put his first foot in Egypt? You don't know? Come on, man. Jihad, you know? He put the second foot. So he put the first foot. The second thing he did, he put the first thing he did after putting the first foot is putting the second one. Okay? So what I'm trying to say, it's fa'at ta'qib, it means what comes immediately after the first one. So can you imagine that? So the Prophet said, when you meet him, you give salam. So in another word, when we meet each other, we don't say, hey, how are you doing, blah, blah. Then I said, salam alaikum. You know, or I come to you and I said, you need to do this, this, and this, and that. Salam alaikum. No. So if you see your parents, you see your son, you see your daughter, you see your wife, your husband, you see your employee, whatever it is, first thing you start with, assalamu alaikum. Before. And sometimes I forget that, you forget that, we forgot that. That, you know what, the first thing you should say is assalamu alaikum. Before you start any subject, before you start talking about anything, you should start with assalamu alaikum. لهذا يدل عليه فاء التعقيب. Then the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, فسلم عليه. سلم, it means say salam. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. What that means? العلماء رحمه الله said mainly has two meanings. And I do believe both applicable. And both what meant. السلام is one of Allah's names. اسم الله. يعني as if I'm saying, I bless you by the name السلام. The name السلام should basically be upon you. I bless you with that name. Sheikh Ammar teach a class about Allah's names and attributes. What's the word, how you translate the word as-salam or the name as-salam?
So number one is the one who's free from all defects, and number the flawless, and number two is the source of peace.
Source of peace. Very well. So when I say I put or I bless you with the name As-Salam, يعني I want you to be free from all deficiencies. I want you to be free from anything which is flawless or something bad or anything inappropriate or incomplete or imperfect. I want you to be free from all that. Can you imagine that? That's when I say Assalamu Alaikum. Yani, I want you to be free from sickness, from bad manners, from anger problem. I want you to be free from debt, free from, you know, worries, free from hellfire, khalid. So, as-salam, that's what the word a name means, okay? So when you say as-salam alaikum, I bless you with that name. Also, that bring peace and tranquility. Because, khalid, when you get peace and tranquility, Omar, when do you get peace and tranquility? If you are worried, would you have peace? If you are sick, would you have peace? If you have all these problems in your life, would you have peace? No. That's right, Abu Walid. So, with the as-salam, which it means peace, it's actually the outcome of the first one, of being perfect. You know, when you work so hard, and mashallah, now you look back, I have my house paid off, I have my car, I have my kids, I have my income, I don't need anything. Everything's out of my life. What do I say? Now I can live in peace. Because you kind of completed yourself. That's right. I finish all my homework. I finish all my requirements. I finish my exams. Now I can be in peace. See? Because when you complete, so can you imagine if your whole life completed, that's why Al-Jannah is Darul Salam. Because that's the most perfection that ever a human being can reach. That's why it's called the Darul Salam. Because you live in absolute peace. And there's no worry about, you know, aging, sickness, you know, nothing to worry about. طيب. So here when I say As-Salamu Alaikum, يعني I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with that name. Also, As-salamu alaykum has another meaning, which is, yani, I guarantee you that you will not see any harm from me. When I say as-salamu alaykum, it means I'm telling you, don't expect anything bad from me. Expect nothing but good from me. So anytime I say as-salamu alaykum, Khalid, that's the last time. Can you stay away from your friend? Okay. When I say salam alaikum, it means don't expect any harm from me. Kanat al-Arab, part of the Arab culture, when someone comes from outside, they will be very suspicious, very superstitious. كانوا يتشائمون بالقادم. When the Arabs see someone riding the horse and coming to them, they said, evil comes. They think bad news coming. So anyone come. You know, where I grew up, again, our culture sometimes, when somebody call you in the night, خير يا ساتر يا رب. There's a part of the culture. If somebody call you in the night, Allah protect us. There is something bad happening. Somebody call you from overseas, oh my God, there is something bad happening. There must be somebody get sick. You know, it's a superstitious. So the Arab has this, anyone entered or come to their gathering, they are superstitious. Oh, he come for this, he come for that. They always think negative. So Islam came to remove that superstitious, that negativity by telling you, assalamu alaikum. يعني you should not expect from the entering person or the coming person nothing but perfect, nothing but good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبَةً كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. In Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you enter your home, give salam to your family, to your friends. That's what means yourself, it means to your family and your friends, not to yourself. You don't give salam to yourself. And this greeting, assalamu alaikum, it's a greeting from Allah. So this greeting is not from a culture. It's not an Arabic culture. It's not a Meccan culture. This is not something people came up from their own. Assalamu alaikum from who? From Allah. Mubarakah, so many blessings in it. Tayyiba, it's pure good. Okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and Allah wants to explain to you His sign. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, here we see in this, Ibn al-Qayyim wrote a very lengthy article about Assalamu Alaikum, and he has a book. It's called Assalamu Alaikum, in about 200 pages, okay, and it's amazing. It's part of his book Bada'ul Fawaid, and in it things never seen in any book before. Some of the rules and some of the points that he mentioned and the meanings, rahimahullah, it's a gem. Anyway. I want you to imagine this because it is so sad that our Islam means nothing in our life. It is so sad when what we say, we don't understand it and we don't apply anything from it. When I say Assalamu Alaikum, it means I am guaranteeing that person peace. So how come I say Assalamu Alaikum, then the next thing this person sees from me, wrath and anger and injustice and being bad to the person? How can I say Assalamu Alaikum, peace, and I know that when this person walks into the house, there's no peace, there's war. Or walk to the business, that's not good, or to the master, it's not good. He's always aggressive. How can we say things that has so many meanings that it means nothing in our life? Then not only Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Allah's mercy. You expecting not but mercy. So there's no need to be mean. Wa barakatu, a blessings. Yani I ask Allah to free you from any deficiency, to complete you, to perfect your life. And I ask Allah for you to shower you with His mercy, to surround you with His mercy. Then I ask Allah to bless you. And al-barakah, it means so much good comes out of you and so much good go to you. That's what al-barakah means. Al-barakah is like birkatul ma', like the oasis. There is so much good comes from it and comes to it. Both ways. So that's what I'm asking Allah ta'ala for you. Can you imagine all this in the word assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? And many of us don't reflect upon that. That's why it is a greeting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a blessing greeting. Then the Prophet said, فَسَمِّتْ. And when he sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah, فَسَمِّتْ. And that's the, it's very famous, the word submit, but in some copies in Sahih Muslim, فَشَمِّتْ. And also some of the copies in بلوغ المرام, فَشَمِّتْ. Otherwise, the most of the copies said, فَسَمِّتْ بِالسِّين. And submit, وَشَمِّتْ, إِشْ مُتَطَابِقَا مُتَمَاثِرَةً, equal to each other, في Arabic language. العرب replace letters a lot. Seen, sheen is a common thing, okay? And it means to say يرحمك الله فشمت, it means يرحمك الله, when the person says Alhamdulillah. I don't know how interested you guys know about Muhammad. What's a shamata? What's shamata? Yashmat. أشمت فيك يعيب. الشماتة, it means what? الشماتة, it means when I see something bad happen to you and I'm happy. I'm so happy that you learn your lesson. That's الشماتة. So the word شماتة, it means that bad things happen to you and I'm like, oh, you deserve it. Good for you. You know, I'm so happy that you're in trouble, Omar. I'm so happy you're in trouble, Khalid, whatever. You know, you see, that's shamat. To be shamat is a good thing or a bad thing? To why we use the word shamata when it comes to somebody sneeze and say Alhamdulillah and I say Yarhamukallah. This Yarhamukallah is shamata. Which is just how that works. That led the scholar to explore what that really means, how that in Arabic language works. SubhanAllah, also in Arabic, one of the culture of the Arabic language, words can mean something and can mean the opposite of it. So sometimes the word shamata, it means I am happy for the bad things to you, and sometimes it means I wish the best for you. So your enemy will feel bad. So the word shamata comes because I wish the best for you, so your enemy will feel so bad about you. That's why we call it shamit. Why? Because I ask Allah to protect you, to perfect. Because when you sneeze, I don't know if you guys know that or not, but if you just Google, I don't have time for that because I promise you I'm not going to too long, but just Google sneezing. When you sneeze, actually, every single thing in your body, in your brain, in your head will be moving. Sneezing is a very dangerous move in the body. It's a very dangerous. And if it doesn't go through the right exits, it might actually kill you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it goes through your brain with that speed. I forgot what is the speed of it. Maybe when we talk in details, I have my notes, I'll look at it. But the speed of the air is unbelievable. It's so strong. And it really can harm you. So for it to go from out of your body so smooth like this, Alhamdulillah, and I said, يعني, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put His mercy in you, and you will always be protected and nothing harm you, that your enemy will feel so bad that you always survive. You're always good. You're always in a good condition. That's the word shamit came from. And also, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, because when you say Alhamdulillah, you praise Allah and you thank Allah. Then I said, Yarhamukallah, I make dua for you. Who will be so angry at that point? Shaitan. So that's why we say At-Tashmid, because the shaitan became so jealous of you, that you praising Allah and you making dua for your brother. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that's where the word shamata comes from. Then istansahak, ask for nasiha. For those also who like to know a little bit about Arabic language, whenever we have a verb in Arabic language, what's the verb? Istansahak. Nasaha. Nasaha. The verb nasaha. Put ast, alif, seen, ta. Whenever you put alif, seen, ta on any verb, it means seeking. Istansaha, yani I'm seeking advice. Like the word istasqa, I'm seeking water. Like the word istakhar, asking for, you know, guidance. Istaqal, talab iqala. You know, it's always like that. Anyway, also it means a perfect, like complete. Could be the opposite. Not looking for something, but is completely. Wastaghna Allah. Anyway, going back here, istansahak, and he was seeking advice from you. Okay? Why advise nasiha? It means something pure, because you give him your pure opinion, regardless of your personal feeling. You give him the right answer, regardless how you feel about it. Then Nabi says, if he is sick, or the person is sick, fa'ud, visit him. Ud, it means visiting the sick. Anyone knows what ud who comes from? The word iyada comes from. Sisters, you guys far away, I cannot ask you. Where is udhu? Comes from ada. What's ada? Return. That's why you're a doctor. What do we call your clinic? Iyada. Because people goes back to you, because how doctor hook you up? You know, they want you to come back and come back and come back. The medicine that you give you actually make you more sick. I'm just kidding. Okay, so al-iyada, it means something you go back. Why you go back? Because you get sick all the time. You need help. You need assistance. That's why you call it iyada. Because nobody stay healthy all the time. You need to go back to it at one point in your life. So fa'udhu, very beautiful. Idha marid, when he's sick, fa'udhu, it means you go back to visit him. So it's not like one time, khalas, I'm visiting one and that's it, I don't ever see you again. Also, it could mean fa'udhu because a lot of people go back to him and visit him. So I visit him, he visit him, they visited him. Many people will go to his house or go to visit that sick person in the hospital. قال القاضي عياد سميت عيادة لأن الناس يتكررون يرجعون ويقال عدت المريض عودا وعيادة. So from this we learned that عيادة المريض, actually the word عيادة, it gives you the indication that you visit him more than one time. And me and brother Muhammad that day went and visited a brother in the hospital. خلاص, it's one time, that's it. Yeah, alhamdulillah, and I came to you. No, العيادة actually means that you come back again to him more. One is minimum, but it's also recommended to, as long as the person need and sick, you go visit him and see what he is or what she is doing. طيب, let's focus now on the lessons. We have so many lessons to talk about. Number one, quick point. The Prophet ﷺ said, حق المسلم على المسلم, the right of every Muslim upon each other. The word Muslim include religious and non-religious. Good practicing and non-practicing. We call them muttaqi wa fasiq. So it doesn't matter what your level of iman is. Okay? Also, it means rich or poor. You didn't give salam to the rich and you visit the rich and you follow the janazah of the famous people, but the poor and nobody, you don't give them ziyarah or you don't visit them and you don't care for them. Also, Muslim, related to you or not related to you. Your friend or your enemy, it doesn't matter. Even I can't stand you, even I don't like you, but I still give you salam. But I still, you have a right upon me. It doesn't matter. That's why the al-Muslim. So that what make you say that. So if somebody who's a Muslim, he deserves, in related to me or non-related to me, I know or I don't know, a male or a female, are old or young. That's why you visit a sick person who's young and you visit an old. You follow the janazah of young and old. You don't say, oh, he's a kid, khalas, no need for go pray on him. No. You give him salam. If you meet a kid, you give him salam. And so on. طيب. Unless there is a proof to distinguish between people. Another point, another lesson. This hadith shows you that our brotherhood, our love for each other, our connection as Muslims is just not words. It required set of actions. It's not like, oh, I am, you're my brother. But there is nothing to connect us. It means nothing in reality. The Prophet ﷺ putting a practical point. He translating this brotherhood into action. Say, you give him salam. You visit him. You help him. You give him nasihat. It's practical because a lot of time we say, we're all brothers. We're all sisters. We love one another for the sake of Allah. But it means nothing. It's just empty words. So Nabi ﷺ making this a very clear point here that the ribatul ukhuwa, the imaniyah, it's not a word, it's not a claim. It's actually actions and rights need to be observed. Also, here the Prophet ﷺ said duties and rights, haqq. Why? لماذا؟ لكي لا يكون في نفسك منة على أخيك. So you don't feel you're doing a favor for your brother. So when I go to visit the sick person, it's not like, well, I'm doing you a favor. No, you know what? That's your right. That's my duties. I'm not doing anyone a favor here. That's the minimum requirement from me. And that's something very also interesting. And by the way, the Muslims are two types. Those who you connected to them through kinship or through marriage or through business or through a special kind of connection. Like what? Relatives, parents, wife, children, uncles, cousins. So they have rights upon you. But also through marriage, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, okay? My daughter's husbands, my daughter's husband's father, brother, they connected to me, okay? My son's wife's family, and so on. Then you have, or through work, my co-workers, my employees, my boss, or through a special connection, my neighbors. We are playing together in one team, soccer play, for example, play team. Okay? We are one committee. We are one da'wah. We are one movement. We are one community. We are one masjid. We are all board of school. Okay? So that's a special connection. Those people, لهم حقوق الأخوة الخاصة. Their connection and their relationship with you make it so strong and they have more rights upon you than the big circle of the whole Muslim world. Because every Muslim in the world is my brother. But my relationship with a person, which is I don't know who lives in Afghanistan, will never be equal to my relationship with Kareem or with Aqib, which is my community, my member. There is a connection between us. You see what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean that those who I don't know have no rights. And that's very unique. So you have rights for everyone, but those who are close to you through these areas I told you have more rights. I give you example, Khalid. So many times, you care to be so nice and courteous to people who are far away from you. People that you don't know. But you're not the same thing to your daughter, to your sister, to your little sister. You don't treat the same way your brother. Here the hadith said the right of those who are near to you is way more important than those who are far away from you. You, for example, you'll find someone will volunteer and work and teach the far people, but he doesn't care about his own family, his own neighbors. And that's wrong. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is not an iman that you go to sleep and your neighbor is hungry. That's not correct. Because more rights upon you. Also, I would like to cite one of the lessons. Some people, mashallah, very good practicing Muslims. And I've seen this and I want to see if you guys agree with me or not. Mashallah, they fast, they pray, they do all this kind of stuff. But wallahi, when it comes to these rights, these six rights, you will find taqseer azeem jiddan fiha. you will find that those people do not fulfill the obligation of this right. MashaAllah, salah, hafiz al-Quran. You pass by him, he never give you salam. MashaAllah, this, he never, you know, when you invite him, he never come to visit you. When you're sick, he never showed up. When you die, he didn't attend your janazah. Don't worry, you're not going to feel anything at that point. You're dead. But I mean, you know, they don't care about attending janazah of other people. You will see that they will get busy with other things and they will do that over the janazah of the Muslims. For them, the value and the importance of this is not so much. That's what I'm trying to say. You will find a lot of religious people practicing Muslims. When it comes to these rites, it's not a priority for them. It's not as important as the Sharia put it. They forgot that the Nabi said, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ. Also, one of the lessons from the hadith, that Islam cares for social issues as it cares for aqidah and ibadah and act of worship. As Islam cared about your relationship with Allah, cared about your relationship with your fellow, basically community members. It's so important not only to be praying, but also to have a good character, to know how to deal with people. And all these are social interactions. Also, another point, when the Prophet ﷺ said the right of the Muslim upon the Muslims, question. We need one of this group to answer me here. What about non-Muslims? Why the Prophet ﷺ said the right of Muslims upon other Muslims? What about the non-Muslim? Aren't we supposed to treat them also the same way? So why the Prophet ﷺ, you think, said the right of the Muslim upon the Muslims? Why make it only for the Muslims? And if that means that these are not something I'm supposed to do to non-Muslims? And if a non-Muslim invited me, I should not answer his call, invitation? If a non-Muslim is sick, I don't go visit him? When the Prophet said, the right for Muslim upon other Muslims, why the Prophet make it only for Muslim? Is it exclusive? Yes? No. Tell you. But why the exclusiveness? Huh? But you can greet them. I mean, even you can say salam alaikum. We're going to talk about that later on. There is hadith coming about that. So why Islam make it obligatory for Muslim and not obligatory for non-Muslim? Why Islam will treat people differently? Because the level of brotherhood and treating people differently is not a bad thing. Because treating people differently, if it includes abuse, it's not allowed. But you know what? Those who are excellent should be treated according to their excellence performance. So that equality, it doesn't mean justice. Equality never means justice. It is one form of justice, but not all the time. Like, for example, if you did your homework and you do all everything right, and your brother, you know, kind of slack, who deserves to be rewarded? The one who did everything on time, that's right? Perfect. So here we recite that Islam give this to the Muslim because they have more right, because of the brotherhood, because of the iman, because they believe in Allah. So they deserve to be treated in the best form. But the hadith never said you don't treat non-Muslim the same. There is no exclusiveness in the hadith. The hadith just focused on the right of the Muslim, but it didn't say, and by the way, non-Muslim, you cannot do that to them. No, that's not what the hadith talking about. The hadith focused on the Muslim because of the level of priorities. That's one. Number two, and that's also important. Al-Islam believes in a very important concept, which is التأسيس, to lay foundations. I'll guarantee you guys, if you're not good to your mother, you will not be good to your wife. If you're not good to your wife, you're not necessarily to be good to your daughter. If you're not good to your neighbor, you're not going to be good to your community. If you're not good to yourself, you're not going to be good to the other. In another word, Islam wants to start you from the smaller circuit and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why the Prophet said, the best of you, the best of his family. So if you're good to your family, you're going to be good to your relatives. If you're good to your relatives, you're going to be good to your community. You're good to community, you're good to the society. There is no one who is not good. I can't take that. I can't believe that. There's somebody who say, I care for the society, and he never cared about his own community. You can't care about the Houston community if you don't care about Clear Lake community, if you live in Clear Lake area or Southeast area. So it goes like this. So that's why Islam want to make sure that our relationship as Muslim is perfect. And if it is perfect, when you expand the circle, what be excellent when it comes to treating with non-Muslim as well. That's why the focus came on Muslims first. Because that's the foundation. Is that clear? Okay. Otherwise, every one of these things you're allowed to do to non-Muslims. Every one of them. Every one of them. Give nasiha, give the advice, you know, when he says alhamdulillah, or even that you can pray for them, bless you, you can do whatever, you know. The only one, which is Abu Walid mentioned, is the issue of you're not allowed to say assalamu alaikum to them. But we're going to learn this more in details, 3-4 ahadith down in the road, when the Prophet said, do not start the Jews and Christians by assalamu alaikum. What he means, because there is other incident where the Prophet started and to give salam to a group of people included non-Muslim. But even if we say don't say salam alaikum, you can say greet them with other things. Hi, how are you doing? You know, and so forth. Tayyip, what's the time now? We said we're gonna stick with 40 minutes. Huh? Okay. We still have how many minutes so far? 5 minutes and we cut. Okay, so in these 5 minutes, let's see how many points we can learn about assalamu alaikum. The first etiquette, when you meet him, you a person, you give him salam. Number one, assalam is a greeting from Allah. And this is a very old greeting, assalamu alaikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that tahiyyatan min indillahi mubarak, a greeting from Allah. How does this start? It starts with Adam alayhi salam, as al-Bukhari Muslim reported. When Allah created Adam, he told Adam, go over there and see these angels. Okay? So when he met and he went and he saw the group of angels, the angels were sitting. Okay? And he told them, assalamu alaikum. That's what Allah told him to say. So Allah taught Adam to say to the angel, assalamu alaikum. And when he did, the angel replied, "Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah." They added, "Wa rahmatullah," Allah's mercy. So he said, "Assalamu alaykum." Their reply was better, "Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah." They add, "Allah's mercy be upon you." Okay. So this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim shows you that the greeting of "Assalamu alaykum" started with Adam. Ibn al-Qayyim said, and that's something inherited from Adam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every prophet, every nation knows about this type of greeting, which is you pray for them with as-salam. That's why in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you might say, what about Christians and Jews today? They don't say salam alaikum. And that's one of the things that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his nation, Allah saved for it the best. So there is certain ritual through history of humanity lost. And Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and brought it back. And Allah saved it for this ummah so they can use it. It's like Friday. It's a very special day since Adam time. But other nations didn't recognize it. Allah kept it for a nation of Muslims to have the Friday Salah and so forth. Also, this hadith shows you that it's highly recommended that you care to start the salam. Huh? You care to be the one who start the salam. فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ When you meet him, immediately say, Assalamu alaikum. And in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said for Bukhari Muslim, the best of the two is the one who start the salam. So if there's two Muslims meet each other or cross one another, the one who said salamu alaykum first is the best. And Nabi said that actually in regard to people who don't talk to each other, fight, have a fight with each other. So if Umar and Yusuf, my sons, okay, had a fight and they don't talk to each other, they still must give salam to one another. If I'm angry at my wife tonight, I still have to give her salam. فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. It is her right. It is his right. And that, subhanAllah, immediately make things less tension. Make things less, even angry at my father, angry at my son, angry at my brother or my friend. I still give assalamu alaikum. Okay? And that's why I love it when people pick up the phone, you call them, assalamu alaikum. He immediately, he's the first one to say assalamu alaikum. And Nabi said, the best of you, the one who starts with salam. So I love it when people adopt this habit because that's the best of you who start the salam. Also, the second point is how to say assalamu alaikum. Is it assalamu alaikum or salamun alaikum or assalamu alaik? Which way? Which one is the sunnah? Assalamu alaikum, it can be said to the single and a group. So one person or a group, you said assalamu alaikum. But if one person by himself, you have multiple choices. You can say assalamu alaikum, you can say assalamu alayka, and you can say salamun alayka bitankir, all from the sunnah. Okay? And this is the minimum. Assalamu alaikum is the minimum. Can you add? Yes. It is actually recommended to add. To add what? Wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. As Allah said, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh alaykum ahl al-bayt. Allah's mercy and blessings upon you, the people of the house, which is the Prophet family. In tashahhud, we say, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In tashahhud, we say that. So, and the angel, you just heard me sing, told Adam what? Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. They added wa rahmatullah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once was sitting and a man passed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the man said, assalamu alaykum. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 10. Then another, 10. 10. Then another man passed by and he said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The Prophet said, 20. A third man passed by and he said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He said, 30. Then after a while, one person's left, like Kida Waleed just left. Gathering like this, he left. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a comment. He said, quickly he forgot. Giving salam when you come is also, giving salam when you leave is as important as you give salam when you come. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم قال وإذا قام فليسلم فَمَا الْأُولَى بِأَحَقُّ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. So, just Allah, Waleed left. The sunnah for him to say assalamu alaikum before he leaves. And when he came back, the sunnah for him to say assalamu, because he just met us. He came back to us. He should have said, and he would have taken how many hasana? And there's no disturbing. You don't need to say assalamu alaikum, everybody. You just, assalamu alaikum, whoever can hear you. And the one next to him, if he said, wa alaikum assalam, sufficient. See, it's something that we're not used to. And I want you to open your mind. There is so many things about salam, you will be surprised, you know, how much we don't know about it. So, this is 5 points. And I said 5 minutes, so I'm going to end up, 7 minutes. Okay. It's ironic. Actually, I do have 27 points about Fasallim Alayh. I have 27 points. I would like to make sure it's equal to this point. Just Salaamu Alaikum. Fasallim Alayh, what that word really indicate. So that will be our class next time, inshallah. Next week, I will be out of the country. So I will be back on February 10. So the next class will be, inshallah, February 13. February 13. So there is possibility that, inshallah, in this day, we'll continue our class. Okay? So, because I don't want to stop the class going, so I'll ask Sheikh Kamal, Sheikh Ammar, either I can give them my notes and they can teach you from my notes, so we continue, or they teach from something else that they feel comfortable to talk about. But we will, inshallah, continue the class, even if it's short, even if it's like 20 minutes or so on Wednesday, just to keep the momentum going, inshallah. So I'll see you, inshallah, on February 13. If anybody has a questions, I'll be happy to answer it from the audience or from the online community. Thank you very much. Yes. One of the points we're going to talk about, do you give salam to people who are praying? Like engage in salah. Yes, sunnah is to do that. And we'll get to learn more about it. But the ulama said, rahimahullah, you don't do it in a setting where you think people don't know the rules. Because if you say assalamu alaikum rahmatullah to me while I'm praying, and I say wa alaikum assalam, I invalidate my salah. Even if it's secretly. Like this. I invalidate my salah. Because you can't talk while you pray. Yes, also inshallah ta'ala, on the 12th of February, Tuesdays, every Tuesday, I will be teaching in main center. And we will continue, Bulugh al-Maram, and we will continue where we stopped at At-Tahara. So we'll continue with the chapter of Salah. And that will be online on my Facebook. So from now on, I will have two classes, Tuesday, in main center, it will be about Salah, the chapter of Salah, and on Wednesday about Kitab al-Adab here in Clear Exam Center. All of them will be online, inshallah ta'ala.